Hello there. I'm James. I am the pastor of the Glenwood Moravian Community Church here in Madison, Wisconsin. And this is The Essentials, our podcast to explore our faith a bit further, to ask questions, and to celebrate the hope and good news that we see in this world. For this episode, I have our scripture lesson and our message from Sunday, August 25th. Our gospel lesson came from John 6, verses 59 through 69, and we were using the Living Bible translation. He preached this sermon in the synagogue in Capernaum. Even his disciples said, "This is very hard to understand. Who can tell what he means?" Jesus knew within himself that his disciples were complaining and said to them, "Does this offend you? Then what will you think if you see me, the Messiah, return to heaven again? Only the Holy Spirit gives eternal life. Those born only once with physical birth will never receive this gift. But now I have told you how to get this true spiritual life. But some of you don't believe me." For Jesus knew from the beginning who didn't believe, and knew the one who would betray him. And he remarked, "That is what I meant when I said that no one can come to me unless the Father attracts him to me." At this point, many of his disciples turned away and deserted him. Then Jesus turned to the 12 and asked, "Are you going too?" Simon Peter replied, "Master, to whom shall we go? You alone have the words that give eternal life, and we believe them, and know you are the Holy Son of God." Here ends the reading of our word. So Jesus has a teaching today that is so difficult to understand that he starts to lose some followers because of it. Here in just the sixth chapter of John, we begin with Jesus feeding the 5,000. This huge crowd witnesses a miracle. They're so amazed that the next day they follow him to Capernaum because they're desperate to be with him. By the end of that day, Jesus goes from hundreds, maybe thousands of followers to just the 12 disciples. Those would be disciples can't accept his teachings, so they leave him. They liked the miracle, they liked being fed, but when things started to get a little more complicated, they bailed. And it's interesting that it's this teaching that causes so many to leave. When I think of Jesus' followers refusing to accept what he has to say, my mind immediately goes to the famous "Get behind me, Satan" line. It's when Jesus predicts his death and Peter rebukes him for saying something so ridiculous. The Messiah isn't going to suffer and die. He won't be crushed by those in power. He'll rule with force and might. So when Jesus tries to prepare his disciples for his crucifixion, it makes sense they would reject it. But here in John 6, he's not teaching about his death. He's teaching about the life that he provides. He says that he's the bread of life and that through him his followers gain eternal life. That is good news, full of hope, but it's still too complicated for them to understand. So they're out, leaving Jesus with just the 12. And that happens as people explore their faith. There's what we learn in Sunday school, miracles and amazing stories where faith makes sense. We sing "Jesus loves me," we say our nightly prayers, God is there to listen to us and help us. But at some point, Sunday school faith gets challenged. We start to have questions that don't have neat and tidy answers. We experience things in life that make it harder to connect with an all-powerful God who seems to let horrible things happen. Life gets complicated. and we're left with a decision to make. Do we keep going? Do we follow Jesus despite all of these uncertainties? Or do we turn back and leave faith behind? Take a moment and think for yourself about how you made that decision. It might have been a specific moment or event dealing with the loss of a loved one, hearing difficult news. Maybe it was a period in your life. For you, when did that innocent Sunday school faith get tested? And how did you decide to keep going to pursue Jesus further, even though questions were piling up? What stands out for me was a moment in high school. I checked all the boxes for a good foundation of faith. My parents made sure I was going to church. They'd even come pick me up from a sleepover so I could make it to Sunday school when I just wanted to sleep in. I went through confirmation. Prayer was a part of my life. I went on a mission trip to New York City. By high school, my pastor was a true role model for me. His sons worked with us at the Dairy Queen, and after work, we'd sometimes go to their house, and Pastor Matt would hang out with us while we played video games. He was the cool pastor, the pastor who was a normal person. One spring afternoon, I strolled into that day's track practice. My dad was our coach at the time, and he called the team meeting with the sense that something was up. He said he had some news about Pastor Matt that he needed to share. Matt had gone down to Milwaukee to check in on his son Robert because he hadn't heard from him in a few days. When he got there, his worst fears came true. Robert had passed away in his apartment from what they later discovered was an extremely rare an almost undetectable heart condition. With several kids from our church on the track team, my dad canceled anything we had for practice and just told us to do whatever we needed to do. Go for a walk, go home, take that time for yourself. And when I need some time to process something, I need to run. That was true back then, it's still true today. And for the thousands of times that I have laced up my shoes, that run that afternoon is still so vivid in my memory. It was the day that Sunday school faith went out the window. Now I had questions that didn't have answers. Now I had a reason to be angry with God, actually angry with God. Faith used to make sense, but what's the point? If this could happen to Pastor Matt, someone who devoted his life to his faith, to being there for other people, if he was going to bury his own son, what good was having faith anyway? Like that massive crowd that went running as soon as things got complicated, I thought that my next step should be out the door. If God can't explain to me why this happened, then I don't need to waste my time. I know that's an extreme example. It's a reaction. Emotions are high. It's just about the most difficult news to try and understand with respect to how our faith plays a part. But at some point, we've all been to a place like that. A place where life doesn't line up perfectly anymore. In a place where questions go unanswered and thinking about God only seems to make things more confusing. And yet, here we are. When it's easier to throw it all away, when it's easier to do something else with your Sunday morning, here you are. Full of praise, full of doubt, full of questions that deeply trouble you, you're here. I shared with Matt that Robert's death shook my faith, changed it, even. I told him how it made me feel a bit naive that I was so rattled when life suddenly wasn't all rainbows and lollipops, a bit guilty that my mind was flooded with thoughts about leaving faith behind when things got complicated. He said he was right there with me, that he didn't know how he could get up there and preach words of hope so that people would actually believe him. But he remembered a few words from John Wesley. Preach faith until you have it. Then, because you have it, you will preach faith. Matt would rather spend his life pursuing hope, pursuing God, seeking eternal joy, than give up on that wonderful promise. Even on days when it felt like a weak flicker of a distant light, he would try to find a path to it. And it was through his witness that the people in the pews who gathered to listen to him, people who had the same questions and doubts, could believe that hope was tangible, even if it felt far away. So, friends, we don't gather as a community because we have perfected this journey of faith. We don't proclaim for a second that our belief is unshakable. We're here because of the ways that this place makes hope tangible in our lives. Through belief in a Savior who loves us so deeply, through our family and siblings who show up for us when we need it, and because of this space where we're allowed to ask questions fully and honestly, praying that we might understand God a little bit more. We're here because we don't have all the answers, but we want to explore our faith until we find them. And I think, I know that that is a church setting that people are desperate to find. And it can be our Moravian witness to the world. So we will keep coming back. We won't run when things get complicated. And we'll continue to walk with people exactly where they are, hoping that one day they will see God walking with them too. Amen. Well, thank you for stopping by for another episode. If you want to learn more about the church that I serve, it's Glenwood Moravian Community Church. You can find our website. You can worship with us on YouTube or stay up to date on the latest events on Facebook. If you want to learn more about the Moravian Church, go to moravian.org. So take care, be well. I'll catch you all next time.